Philippians 1:27, only let your conversations be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. And we need unity in the local body of the believers. Amen. Having one mind, one spirit, and striving together for the faith of the gospel. And we have a great day soul winning this afternoon. We had 19 soul winners and 5 salvations. Praise the Lord for that. Lord. It's a great weather, and, you know, personally, I need to get used to getting going soul winning in the heat, okay? Just, you know, because we've been going soul winning in the cold for months. Now it's time to flip the switch and do more soul winning, amen? So let's look at the inside page. We're on YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, and X. I'm 15 hours left on my ban on X, so I can until I can get back on it. You know, that's part of the 30-day ban because I speak against the Catholics. That's kind of weird on X. Anyway, service time Sunday morning at 11, Sunday afternoon service at 4, and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. We started the book of Ruth this past Wednesday, so this Wednesday will be in Ruth chapter 2. It's a very interesting book, lots of practical as well as doctrinal lessons, so please join us if you are local or if you're able to. So many time is for you to see. Let's look at the upcoming events. Next Sunday during the afternoon service is our Lord's Supper service. Again, that's next Sunday, okay? The one that's coming. Okay, so it will be a special service dedicated for the Lord's Supper. If you don't know where I stand on this topic, listen to my sermon I preached several weeks ago. But you have to be saved and baptized, okay? Listen to a sermon, or you can ask me if you have any questions on that. And the Easter service is the following week on April 5th. And we'll have a potluck right after the morning service. And there's a sign-up sheet. Please sign up the food item that you want to bring, the appetizers, sides, drink, desserts. And then we'll have a men's preaching night that afternoon. So please let me know if you're planning on preaching. By the way, who intends on preaching the men's preaching night? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Just let me know your sermon topic. And if you know anyone else who wants to preach, let me know so I can get a head count. Okay. No heresies. No heresies of the flesh either. Save the dates for the soul winning events coming up. Next Saturday is our Gary soul winning marathon. The time and address is on our social media. I will post it again. Also, the Mega Soul Winning Marathon, April 4th, will have an Indy location as well as a Chicago location. You can also go to godresource.com. It's on the events page. Also, we have a Chicago State University Soul Winning event on Monday, June 8th, or something around, you know, or like sometime around that time frame. And again, go to the godresource.com for the events on the events page. And I'll be preaching this afternoon. That will be special. Also, tithe and offerings for you to see on the back. You can see the birthdays and the anniversary for the month of March. That's all for the announcement. Let's sing one more song, and then we'll take up the offering.
All right. Next song in our hymn books that we're going to be singing is song number 30, Nothing But the Blood. Song number 30. On the first. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my part in this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All right, could we have the ushers come up for our tithes and offering? Brother Brett, could you please pray for the offering?
Thank you, Lord, for a great day today. Thank you for letting us see some people get saved and Philadelphians have great weather. Please bless this offering and let it go to see more people saved this year. We love you and thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Alright, we'll be in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, if you need a Bible, raise your hand and usher will give one to you. Matthew chapter 18, the whole chapter will be read. Matthew chapter 18, the Bible reads, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. And he said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believeth in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed, they despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray? Doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his faults between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, Then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found out one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses. Brother Jerry, could you pray us into service?
Amen. Now, it's not normal for me to preach in the afternoon. And if you've been coming here for any period of time, I preach on Sunday morning and on Wednesday night, and then we have a guest preacher. Not a guest preacher, you know, have a rotation of men preaching in the afternoon, and I'm sorry that I hijacked Brother Stevens' time. On Friday night, I had to text him, hey, you know, I'm afraid I have to hijack your afternoon sermon. So it's not about him, okay? There's something I just need to address. And, you know, if you know me, I don't like dramas. You know, I don't like to deal with dramas from other churches. And last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, I jokingly told a couple of men at this church, you know, just like concerning all the dramas at different churches, you know, I said something like, you know, let's see what's next. You know, I'm just surprised all the crazy things. You know, I wonder what's next. And I even told them, you know, I'm glad we are not going through those dramas. But that has changed. And, you know, sermons like this is not pleasant, and I don't want to preach things like that, but things need to be addressed. So I don't know how long this sermon is going to last, maybe 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I don't really know. Just get my point across and just get over with. So point number one, I am for Matthew 18 process. I'm for Matthew 18 process because conflicts are unavoidable because we are all humans, right? We are all sinners, and some conflicts are small ones, and some conflicts can be big. And the Bible sets forth the way to deal with major conflicts, namely the Matthew 18 process. And personally, I don't think you should invoke Matthew 18
petty things like, you know, he looked at me wrong, okay? But if you know something, you know, by the way, if you know something offends other people at church, just don't do it, okay? Don't say these over-the-top jokes and things like that. But you're in Matthew chapter 18, look at verse 15. Matthew 18, verse 15. The Bible says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him." What's the next word? Alone. "If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." So if you have any problem with someone, you know, with someone at the church, and if that bothers you so much, you are supposed to approach him alone, not everyone else. If you tell everyone at the church, then you are violating Matthew 18, verse 15. Isn't that clear? Yeah. You're supposed to go to him alone. Not telling everyone on the internet.
Right.
Not sending to some public text group. Think about this. If Brother Matt steals Brother Stephen's phone, he should approach, and if he spreads it, and if Brother Stephen is so bitter, and if he spreads it to everyone at the church, then that's wrong. He's supposed to confront him alone for stealing the phone, right? Now, if Brother Stephen chose not to confront Brother Matt, then he should let it go. You have two options. Choose to confront with him alone, or let it go, right? You can suffer to be defrauded, or you go through the biblical process. Now, there have been several times that people had issues with others at the church, and they went to me, and I usually told them, hey, talk to that person alone. Don't have me fix all of your problems.
Right?
And verse 15 says, go to him alone first. What if that doesn't work? Look at verse number 16. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So if Brother Stephen confronts Brother Matt, hey, just give my phone back. You know, that's a great iPhone. You know, I'm not Android fan. No, I'm just kidding. And if he refused to get right, hey, then bring more witnesses from the church. You know, at this point, hey, you know, get me involved, you know, as, you know, one of the witnesses. So maybe I can, you know, judge things fairly. And if that doesn't work, look at verse number 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church, but if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. So if the witness, if he does not take heed to the witnesses, you know, I will make an announcement, give him a final chance, and if he doesn't get right, then he is out of the church, right? He'll be as an heathen man and a publican. That means he's out, his church disciplined. Can you imagine if Brother Stephen refused to confront Brother Matt and he's all bitter? And then he left this church, and 4 months later, he's just telling everyone online about how miserable he was while he attended here. That's retarded.
Yeah.
Amen.
Retarded.
Or after he confronted Brother Matt, and he did not involve the second step of the Matthew 18 process, and was just all bitter while he attended, and after he left, he just complained, disclosed everything online. Do you know who that reminds me of? Andrew Ginnon. Like, I'm sorry, I have to name the names, okay?
Right.
Now, I want to say that, you know, I appreciate him for song leading and preaching. He's been the OG member since the beginning. You know, he's been with us for about 2 years before all this crap surfaced several days ago. He left on good terms, supposedly. And I ask you not to speculate why he left, right? Because I give people the benefit of the doubt. I mean, if people left on good terms, I allow them to leave on good terms. I will even defend the people who turned out to be bad because they left on good terms. Okay? But now he has revealed his true color. He and his wife complained how miserable they were while attending here online. That's what his wife, Rovi, said. "It's the first time I felt uncomfortable at church. He is a flatterer to everyone." Now, he is talking about Dan Trusty, okay? So, just so you know the context. "He's a flatterer to everyone, not just my husband, but behind most people's backs, he's the real deal, a wolf in sheep's clothing. He yelled and embarrassed his wife in front of us and the kids, talks badly about others and even other pastors, and to top it off, his kids said some hurtful words to my kids. My oldest son even told him what his kid did, but he didn't do anything. You know, all these things, you know, we don't have, you know, our true, false, and mostly it's true, but that's what she said next. I almost cried every Saturday praying to God because I hate this guy, because I knew I'd see him again on Sunday. I still want to be a blessing at church, and I saw my husband love the church, and I want to support him all the way. That's why even we've experienced this, we still continue and just serve God. The guy is so good, and, you know, the guy is so good that he reveals something about this guy. What a relief. To be clear, we don't attend SFBC Indy for several reasons, but we love the church. When our family does so many in places far from us, we still tell people to attend SFBC Indy if it's closer to them. So notice, she said she cried almost every single Saturday. Here's my thing. If you felt miserable every single week, why didn't you invoke Matthew 18? Right. Yeah. Why didn't you confront him? And if that does not work, bring the witnesses. Yep. Follow the biblical process. Now you're going online and just air everything out. You know, if you refuse to follow the biblical process, and if you're all bitter, that's your fault.
Amen. Yeah.
Now you're complaining about how miserable you were while you still attended. I mean, you know what? They deserve to be miserable for not going through the biblical process. And do you know what that post make me look like? It makes me look like I'm not competent.
Yeah.
Couldn't deal with the issues. Somehow they just suffered being at our church because nobody dealt with this guy, right? That's an attack on me and on this church. And I responded back to her, and that's what she replied back to me. With all due respect, before I comment, I asked my husband if I could, and he said, it's okay, I have permission. Like, why didn't you say that? Sorry, I'm a mother, and I just remember everything with this guy. I'm talking about Dan. You know, if you don't know him, don't worry about it. Even in our group chat that I created, you know, talking about the problem and stuff like that. So, again, Matthew 18 process. If you don't follow through, then stop complaining, right. Okay? And then she also said that since you brought this up, I will be honest and won't cover for him. I am submissive to my husband, and remember, I'm a mother too, and I won't tolerate that around my kids. So if that affects you so much, then why don't you confront the issue? And if you did, and if that didn't work, then just invoke step number two of the Matthew 18 process, right? Now you're whining like a baby. By the way, is it miserable coming here?
No.
I mean, we have great fellowship. People here are real. People who know me personally know I'm real. I'm like really down to the earth.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
You've dined with me, seen me leading to the Lord, going soul winning with me, and fellowshiping with me. Like, how miserable is that? You know? And here's what Andrew said. He then tried to convince the layman at church, not the leadership, because he's not evil, not stupid, that I was a wolf and I was after his wife. So, by the way, supposedly this information was revealed after Dan left, okay?
Sure.
And if you guys have known that, some of you have known that, you guys should have told me earlier.
That's right. Amen.
Right. Maybe we can prevent a lot of this.
Amen.
Okay? That's also what he's, let me just keep reading. He and AJ Zamora, sorry to name the names. He and AJ Zamora, who moved to Verity for the very spiritual reason of dating a young girl, like to whisper like little girls in church about Peterson and his supporters. When did you hear AJ whisper at church? Talking about Peterson? You know, Andrew just wants to make everyone look bad. You know, I don't agree with AJ on a lot of things that he did or said online, but I'm going to defend him on truth.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Whisper like a little girl at church? You know, AJ left on good terms. He may give me a made-up reason, but he left on good terms. And I will defend him out of principle.
Yeah.
Again, I won't defend him for the nasty things that he said against Pastor Anderson online, but that's after he left. Okay? He also said this, AJ also tried to anonymously create a heat map of which churches were pro and anti-Anderson or even neutral. Again, just to see which way the wind was blowing and cause division. Some of you remember when he did the map, right? When he did that, I was there. I thought it was interesting because I wanted to see what side people took. So you cannot just backdoor the intention on people like this. Okay? Again, out of principle. And then, you know, Andrew also said, you know, I confronted Dan about yelling, just all the bad things that, you know, he said he has confronted him personally. Well, did you pursue step number 2 of the Matthew 18 process? See, I can't stand people who are cowards and just complain about it later. You know, sorry, that's not a pleasant sermon, but I will not tolerate crap shoveled down my throat like this. Making me look incompetent. Making Pastor Thompson look incompetent. You know, everything I'm dealing with, the major decision, I talk to Pastor Thompson. Okay, so you're basically making both of your leaders look incompetent. And I can ask everyone who attends here now that when another issue about Dan was brought up to me, I did my due diligence, and he was out in a week. How is that not dealing with issues? Okay? Go to Romans chapter 1. Sorry, Romans chapter 1. So point number 1, I'm for Matthew 18 process. Point number 2, do I seem like a pedophile? Do I seem like a pedophile? Okay, let me just give you more context, okay? Romans chapter 1, look at verse 29. Talking about the sodomites. Being filled with all unrighteousness. So I believe a sodomite is capable of committing pedophilia. Because they are capable of all unrighteousness. Going after a child is unnatural. Every pedophile is a reprobate. Yeah. Are there any questions that I believe in the reprobate doctrine? Who in here think I want to protect child molesters and pedophiles? Like who in here that come here that like knows me personally? Have you not paid attention to any of my sermons? Do you know why we had the protest? Like, come on. And let me just give you more context about Dan, okay? Again, if you have been coming recently and if you don't know about him, don't worry about it. But Dan was caught in a sting operation after he already left the church. Because basically, an officer pretended to be a 14-year-old girl, and they chatted online and then took the bait. And, you know, he was on his way to meet a 14-year-old girl, and he was caught, okay? That's the summary of the story. And it's, you know, wicked and nasty or whatever, okay? Amen. And I did make some comments that I could not for sure call Dan a reprobate. Amen. And here are my reasons. By the way, in case you think I'm just out on my own, I talked to Pastor Thompson, and he gave me the exact same reasonings about not calling him a reprobate. So if you have any, you know, problem with that, take it to Pastor Thompson and take it to myself. Right. Okay? Reason number 1, this is a 14-year-old. I'm not saying someone could not be a reprobate for going after a 14-year-old, but I don't know the features of the 14-year-old. Maybe she looked like a grown woman. So my stance is, he may be a reprobate. I cannot say that for sure, but I know he's messed up and that he is not welcome back here at all. Right. No, you may disagree with that assessment, whatever, and you may think he's for sure a reprobate. And, you know, some people here disagree on whether Trump is a reprobate. But does that mean I disagree with the reprobate doctrine and that I'm protecting the pedophiles? He's not welcome to come back at all. Reason number 2, this was a sting operation. There was no real 14-year-old involved. Reason number 3, this was a conspiracy, so he did not commit the actual act. Reason number 4, when I made that comment, it was before conviction. What about innocent before proven guilty? Yeah. Okay? And, you know, let me read to you what Pastor Thompson has said. You know, by the way, let me just read you what Andrew commented later. That's what he said. At one point, it was considered railing to call Dan a pedophile as opposed to a habophile, that's between 11 to 14, or ephebophile, 15 to 19-year-old, which is technically correct. I just hate it because in this distinction, it makes the person explaining it seem like a pedophile. Notice what he said. It makes the person explaining it seem like a pedophile. Now, more backstory, okay? I brought up different legal definitions because I'm curious on what, you know, what objectively, what objectively is a pedophile. Because now I want to look at it legally as well as biblically, okay? Go to 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. Legally, a pedophile's age can vary by state, maybe under 12, 14, whatever. Biblically, I tend to believe it's when someone, you know, starts the cycle, right? 1 Corinthians 7:36. Again, I'm not dogmatic on that. 1 Corinthians 7:36. The Bible says, "But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry." Okay? So, by the way, you know, I was simply expressing to people that, you know, I didn't want to call someone a pedophile flippantly because when I reprobate someone, I'm basically saying that that person can never be saved. So Pastor Thompson literally told me the same thing, that it would be railing to call him a pedophile. That's not just from me. By the way, I agree with him, but, you know, that's his stance as well, okay? Let me just read to you what Pastor Thompson said. By definition, which you looked up, again, responding to Andrew, by definition, which you looked up, not me, Dan is not a pedophile. Dan did not have a real victim either. That's not to say that he would not have done the act if the person is real, but they were not, hence the conspiracy. Dan was told he would never be allowed to return to our church. But make no mistake about where we stand, innocent until proven guilty. I don't call people pedophiles if there's not proof that they are, and will not suffer my church members to do so without reproving them. If people don't like that, I don't give a crap. Kick rocks. My judgment is the same for everyone, whether it is Pastor Anderson or any Joe church member, innocent before proven guilty. Period. Now, to me, it's funny. People give Pastor Anderson the benefit of the doubt, but not like other people. You know, again, both of our stance, Pastor Thompson and I, whether you like it or not, that it is still railing to call Dan a pedophile. Amen. If you don't like it, take it to us, okay? Take it to him and take it to me. Does that make me seem like a pedophile for wanting more evidence, for wanting conviction, for wanting more details? This makes Andrew Guinan look like a snake, an evil surmiser, and a wicked scum. Amen. He's been saying, you know, I seem like a pedophile. He's not saying that directly. He said, I seem like a pedophile because I want more evidence, okay, supposedly. So go to Philippians chapter 1. See, I have several people that left the church. I think he was one of the worst. Probably worse than them because, you know, at least he's an open wolf. But Andrew, you know, there's one thing I agree with Dan, that Andrew was a wolf. So, I said point number one, I'm for maturating process. Point number two, do I seem like a pedophile? Point number three, am I anti-new IFB? Like, seriously? I'm featured in Paul Wittenberger's film against Pastor Anderson. You know, basically he took a sermon clip of me saying that, you know, I love the doctrines of the new IB and I'm never changing. Like, seriously? By the way, you know, I like the doctrines that a new IB stand on. Faith alone, once saved, always saved. Hardcore King James only.
Yeah.
Song winning, anti-Zionism.
Yeah.
Post-trib pre-wrath.
Amen.
And I'm never changing.
Amen.
How does that make me anti-new IFB? Because I disagree with him on that? You know, I'm for all song winning churches. I may not like some pastors or some other churches. I may not even recommend their churches. But I'm happy if souls are saved.
Yeah.
Is there anything wrong with that? Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 15. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 15 says this. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Even if someone preaches the gospel for a bad reason, but we should still be happy because souls are saved. Okay? Now, are there things that I disagree with Pastor Anderson? Sure. But we agree on the main things. I told people not to rebuke or even rail against him. I even told people to take down their posts against him. How am I anti-new FB? Just like, get real, folks. And here's what Andrew said. Again, I want to clarify, I'm for SFBC and all of its church plans. Dan was handled appropriately by church leadership. I didn't put Dan on blast publicly because at the time I was suspended from my job due to the protests, and there were morons agitating sodomites and funneling information to them online. Now, you know, I'm not going to disclose who the morons are, but they are people at this church. He's complaining that he got fired from his job due to morons here agitating sodomites. That's how he really feels about you guys. He blamed the fact that he got fired on the sermons and on some of you. That's vile and trashy and the low character move.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
Now, were some of your behaviors perfect during the protests? No. Were there something that you did that may have agitated them more? Sure. But Andrew's face is on the news too. He was leading the songs. Are you ashamed of leading songs at our church? Like, you know, so instead of taking the reward, he's bitter at it that, you know, he actually got fired because he cannot take the heat. That he cannot take the protest or whatever. But then he also said this. To me, that's out of nowhere, okay? Notice what he said next. If you like Dan or Roger Jimenez, I'm happy for you. Or sorry that happened, whichever one applies. But my point stands. My point stands is these are the losers that were calling for Pastor Anderson to step down while they were doing much worse. Why are you saying that? Why are you pitching me against Pastor Anderson? Like, if you like Dan or Roger Jimenez, like, where did that even come from? You were complaining how miserable you were, and now you say, if you like Dan or Roger Jimenez, my point stand, you know, I'm just for Pastor Anderson. Like, okay. Like, why are you pitching me against Pastor Anderson? Is that even necessary to even say that? By the way, if I'm against Pastor Anderson, then why did I sing karaoke with him? Have you seen the smiles on my face when I'm singing karaoke with him?
Amen.
Like, come on. Now, let's get real, okay? Personally, do I think he should hammer on Verity every single sermon? No. Personally, you know, I wouldn't do that. But I also don't know what I'm going to do in his shoes.
Yeah.
To be honest. He lost his childhood best friend and watched Verity, the church that he invested in, burning down. So I get the emotions, even though I don't agree with everything that he has done. You know, I'm not gonna condemn him. I'm not gonna condemn him for doing that. I'm just being honest, okay? Because I don't know what I'm going to do if I were in his shoes. See, I have zero respect on people who pitch me against other saved pastors.
Amen.
That's a low character behavior. That's a weasel move. That's a real weasel move, okay? And he tried to make this post about Pastor Anderson. Like, where did that even fit in? You know? He's like, if you somehow defend the people that were against Pastor Anderson, that make you against him. Like, I defend people on principle and on truth.
Amen.
Okay? And to some people, you know, if you don't agree with Pastor Anderson on every single detail, every single behavior, like every single post, then you are anti-New FB. That is cultish.
Yep.
We are independent churches.
Yeah.
Okay? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. So somehow, if you defend those people who don't like him just a little bit out of principle, you are anti-New FB. So, be a fan, don't be a sycophant, okay?
Yeah.
So I said point number one, I'm for Matthew 18 process. Point number two, do I seem like a pedophile? Point number three, am I anti-New FB? Point number four, you always give the leaders the benefit of the doubt. Let me read to you Proverbs 18, verse number 17. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. See, the first story always sounds right until you hear the other side, right? 1 Timothy 5, look at verse number 19. 1 Timothy 5, 19 says this. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. The Bible says against a pastor, you're not even supposed to take the accusation until you have two or three witnesses. Why is that? Maybe because a good pastor who actually preaches the Bible will get a lot of false accusations and haters. Right?
Yep.
Go to Deuteronomy chapter chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter number 19. This went longer than I thought. Deuteronomy 19, look at verse 15. Here's the thing. You are not supposed to take the accusation until you have two or three witnesses. But even with the witnesses, even with the believing, you know, agreeing witnesses, that is not equal conviction. Think about Naboth's vineyard, right? They have agreeing witnesses, but they turn out to be false witnesses. That's why you are in Deuteronomy 19, look at verse number 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in anything that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him, that which is wrong, then both the man between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness and has testified falsely against his brother. So with the witnesses, hey, if you have two or three witnesses, then you move on to diligent acquisition, right? To like cross-reference the evidence. See, when someone attacks me or attacks Pastor Thompson, give us the benefit of the doubt.
Amen.
Here's why. If you don't trust me, then why do you even come here?
Right.
And you know I have a lot of haters, right? go to James 1, James chapter number 1. Especially when someone who has left the church approaches you with secret things at church, be aware. And usually they would not tell you the real reasons why they left. It just amazes me how that, you know, some people who left on good terms and made up reasons eventually reveal their true color. I can think of a couple of people. But they still left on good terms, okay? James chapter 1, look at verse 19. James 1:19 says this. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, slow to comment, slow to like posts online. See, don't be so hasty to like things and post things and comment things online. Try to think for yourselves first. Don't be carried away by other people's emotions. Okay? And are there things that I regret sharing, you know, commenting online? Yes. We can all work on that. You know, don't just take sides online when only hearing from one side. Especially that side is full of bitterness and gossip and evil surmising. Yeah. I'm almost down. So, this church has been here for less than 3 years. I've encountered many crazy events and stories already. We've had protesters, online haters, and people who left turn out to be scum or whatever. But I've yet encountered someone who is trying to take me down as the leader. You say, how? By questioning my competency and implying I may be a pedophile? Like, how messed up can you be when you try to bring down a good church? So, like, yeah, it doesn't even make any sense. So I said, point number one, I'm for masturbating process. Point number two, do I seem like a pedophile? And all God's people say? No. Point number three, am I anti-New FB? And all God's people say?
No.
Point number four, you always gave the leaders the benefit of the doubt. So in conclusion, Andrew Ginning is trash. He's a coward for not going through the masturbating process, but now he's all whining and complaining. He's a tattletale. He's an evil surmiser. He implied that I may be a pedophile. You know, that's getting close to railing, right? You know, to some of you, it is railing, you know. He tried to pitch me against another pastor. He's sowing discord among the brethren. With that being said, I don't think anyone here should take him seriously. And, you know, you may even consider cutting him off. Mark in the void. And if he ever wants to come back, he will need to apologize to me and the church. Because he claimed there are more rounds agitating protesters, and that's why he lost his job. And this may be my first sermon naming the names of someone who left the church, and I'm sure this won't be the last. You know, usually when people left the church, I never name their names, right? So, but lastly, pray for me. And many times I just couldn't post my prayer request in the group because they are confidential. Many times I know people are stabbing me in the back, but I just couldn't tell you, right? And I have to deal with everyone else's problems and make hard decisions. And people don't know a lot of things I have to deal with. By the way, this is the tip of the iceberg. You know, I can tell more things about him, okay? And, you know, many attacks and painful things I just have to shove down my throat. And I defended Andrew when he left. I ask you not to speculate the reasons, but when evil reveals itself, no more nice guy anymore. Yeah. Amen. That's closing a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this church. I pray for the unity of this church. I pray we'll make judgment upon principle and on truth and not on the emotion. I pray that you'll greatly use us and gain more people saved. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Amen. House cleaning sermon. Now we're going to go to the last song, 412, Onward Christian Soldiers. Onward Christian Soldiers, song 412. 412. On the first. Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foes. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, but one body we. One in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages, men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Amen. All right, Brother Brad, can you please take us out of the service?